Hallelujah. 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 Father, bless the words tonight. May they be an inspiration from the bosom of Almighty Yahweh. They touch every heart, every mind, and every spirit in Messiah's wonderful name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I do want to start because there are things that I want to point out tonight. And I pray that you give Yahweh your undivided attention. Now don't do things to distract me here. The little children, they are going to do foolish things. So don't let those things distract your attention from the word of Yahweh. It is important in this hour that we hear what the Ruah, the Spirit of Yahweh, says. It is one thing about Shaitan, he has always tried to distract the attention or the ability to hear what thus saith Yahweh. And we must in this hour, it is of great importance that we know who he is and that we know who we are. We must know who he is. He cannot be a figment of imagination, something that we have constructed a figure in our thoughts, and we have erected this kind of a being that we perceive him to be. He's beyond the limitation of your imagination and your thought. And that is why we have so many doctrines and religions today, because they have formed their gods. And they're all different in many aspects. And there's one thing about Yahweh, he never changed. I want to, on the premises of these two scriptures tonight, I do want you all to write these scriptures down. And you must study to show yourself approved. And this will give you tremendous opportunity between now and the Shabbat to look over these scriptures. And in doing that, then you will know the one that labor among you. You will know me. That is how you're going to know me. Not by your emotional tirades, you up, down. You're not going to know me that way. And we need to know the ones that labor among us. And so what you do, the things that I speak unto us by the inspiration of the Spirit, then you take those scriptures and you go and look at them again like the Bereans did. They received the word of Yahweh with a mind that was open and a heart that was ready, because they believed that these brethren were of the faith. The scripture says in Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. And James 1:17. Yaakov 1:17. I want to read from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. This is either a truth or it is a false statement. Either Malachi prophesied by the anointing, by the Spirit of Yahweh, or he spoke by a spirit of divination. He was filled with demonic power. This is what the scripture says. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. It says, "For I am," he tells us as he identifies himself. "Not for I am the Lord, for I am Yahweh." He says, "These are my attributes. First of all, I change not." I never change. I am always the same. "I change not, therefore, ye sons of Jacob, you are not consumed." Because of the promises that I made with your forefathers, you are not consumed. So he identified his supremacy and his power, that it never changed. The attributes of Yahweh, they never change. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. So he never changed. And the laws of Yahweh have never changed. No, they do not save us.
It is the surety that we receive of the manifestation of the law in the body of Messiah that gives us the hope that we know what our sins are. And so that is what the law does. It shows us our sins. When a man denies the power of Yahweh, his Shabbat, his name, then that man walks in sin. Messiah would have sinned if he denied the Father's name. So he did not sin. Scripture says in Yaakov, James 1:17, what a profound statement here. James 1:17, he says, every righteous or good gift. He did not say some, but it says every. Does not it say that? It says every righteous or good gift and every perfect gift. It identifies gifts. There are good gifts or righteous gifts, and there is a perfect gift. So your uncle, James, lets us know where they come from. He tells us that it is from above. They come from above. And cometh down, that's what it says, from the Father. The Father of light. Now we must know who this Father is that is of light. Now I understand what it says in the King James. It says the Father of lights. There is only one light. And Messiah is that light. And it says all the good gifts and perfect gifts, they come down from above. And they come from the Father. Is that not the statement in the text? It tells us where the gifts come from. The gifts come from the Father. It says every good or every righteous gift and every perfect gift, they come from above. They do not generate from the earthly presence or the earthly desire of man. It does not come forth out of man. The good gifts or the perfect gifts, they do not come forth out of man. The things that come forth out of man are corruption and sin. So every good, we know that every good gift and every perfect gift, all of those gifts that are good and perfect, we know that they are from above. They're not sensual or earthly gifts. They are from above. And it identifies where they come from. It tells us that they come from the Father. It says that the gifts come from the Father of light. He is the Father of light. The light shining forth into darkness, and the darkness hated or resisted the light. Why? Because it reproves the sins or the workings of darkness. And so the Father is the gift giver. Every good, every perfect gift comes from above. From the Father of light. And he says, with whom? In him is no variableness or change, neither shadows of turning. There's no changing in your way. He is continuous. He is the same. Day in and day out, second years, centuries, throughout eternity, he never changed. For if he changed, then his word has no strength or value at all. It has none at all. And so where do the gifts come from? Well, they come from Yahweh. They come from the Father of light. Every good gift and every perfect gift. And so today we don't find what we call good gifts today. We don't find the perfect gifts of Yahweh. Why, when a man truly loves him with all of his heart, soul, mind, and all of his strength, it takes Yahweh to give a man that kind of love. There's only one love, and Yahweh is love. And so as he was in the Son, and the Son is in us, if he's truly in us, then we possess the love of Yahweh. And then if we love him, then we love his truths. We love his laws and his righteous statutes. We love them with a deep devotion. And when a man is not established in those truths, then he resists or denies the laws and the truths of Almighty Yahweh. There is no good gift that anyone possesses or any perfect gift that did not come from the Father. And you will see throughout Scripture, if you literally and actually search, whereby the apostles never denied the Father. They extol Him, first of all. They identify and exalt the Father. And then they give reference or thanks unto Messiah, for they were the servants of Messiah. Now look at what Messiah says in Yohanan, John, chapter 14. John 14, chapter 1. This is a profound statement here. He says in Yohanan 14, verse 1, as he began to speak in the Passover chamber, he began to speak of those things that Yahweh had imparted into his heart to speak unto the house of Israel. He says unto them, he says, first of all, let not your heart be troubled. Don't allow your heart to be troubled by circumstances or situations or what things you see coming upon the face of the earth. He said, ye believe in Yahweh. If you truly believe in Yahweh, he says, believe also in me. In my Father's house. Who is this Father that he is talking about? Is he just simply a Father that is very elusive? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Everyone quotes that scripture. I do not care what denomination that they are a part of. They love that. They say, in my Father's house are many mansions. Who is this Father? Did Messiah identify him to us? That we would know him and that we could truly cry, Abba or Abi, Father? That is a customary title, the Aramaic word to customary that is concerning the reference of a father, Abba. So he said that in his Father's house. Is that not what he says? He did not say in his house, but in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, if it were not so, I would not have told you. I cannot lie, and I will not lie to you, is what Messiah said. If these things I tell you are not true, then I will not speak them, because the things that I speak them because my Father speaks them in me. I go to prepare you a place. And if I go and prepare you a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you in or unto myself. And there where I am, there ye may be also. And wherever, whether I go, ye know. You know where I'm going. And the way, you do know. I'm going to the Father, and there is only one way. All the ways of a man, they're pure in his own sight. But Yahweh, he pondereth, or he weigheth the spirit of a man. Thomas said unto him, Teacher, O mighty one, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? You would think that this world would want to understand the clarity of Yahweh's truth. But he has blinded their eyes. He doesn't intend for them to know. He has given them the God of this world. That he has blinded their eyes. Leached this mighty power of this message of Messiah would shine through. They would believe and their hearts would be converted. And their hearts are not converted. He says, Messiah saith unto him. This is what he says unto Thomas. He says, I am the way. I am the way. Now, Scripture must give us some identity or clarity concerning the way. It says, I want you to write this. I want to move now. It says in Psalms 119, verse 1. Psalms 119, verse 1. We need to understand the way that Thomas said, what way do we walk in? What way do we walk in? Some emotional feeling? Some tradition of man? This is what David declared by the Spirit of Yahweh. Psalms 119 verse 1. He said, blessed are the undefiled, those that are not defiled, in the way. What is the way? Who walk in the law of Yahweh. Now that is the way that he intends for us to walk. He does not intend for us to walk outside of that way. And when a man walks outside of any of these laws, he is not in the way of Yahweh. Messiah came to fulfill this perfect law that Yahweh gave unto us. That is why the prophets exalted. That is why Moshe, his strength and his power, was established in the law of Yahweh. So blessed are those that are not defiled, or the undefiled, who walk in the way. What way? Who walk in the law of Yahweh. We must walk in the law of Yahweh. Does the law save us? No, the law does not save us. But the law instructs us in the way that we may get to the Savior and walk pleasingly before Him. So Messiah says, I am the way. The way to who? Who is He leading us to? He had just told them that in His Father's house. What way is He leading them? Or who is He leading them to? Religion leads us to all kinds of strange elements. But it doesn't lead us to the mighty power of Almighty Yahweh. It says in the same Psalms, verse 32. Psalms 119, verse 32. And David declares, what a statement. He says, I will run. Run what? The way. I will run the way. Messiah says, I am the way. He said, I will run the way of thy commandments. When thou shalt enlarge my heart. Is that not the purpose of Messiah? To enlarge our hearts, to open our hearts and our minds unto the truth of the Father? Did not He come to do that? We cannot just take a statement out of the New Testament and try to add or make it out to what we want it to be of our private interpretation. We must go to Scripture and find out what did Messiah imply. He could not just speak something that was just off the top of a natural man's mind. Yahweh is bound by His laws. He is bound unto us by His laws. And He does not change, nor does His laws change. You think He's going to allow us to acknowledge some other being as the Mighty One? He is not going to do that at all. Look at the 33rd verse of the same chapter. He said, teach me. Teach me is what David says. O Yahweh, the way. The way of thy statutes. And I shall keep it until when? Until the end. So Messiah is teaching us a way we must keep it unto the end, the statutes of Yahweh. He said, I will keep in that way, the way of Yahweh, you must keep the statutes unto the end. Now religion teaches all kinds of laws and bylaws that are not based upon the promises of the truth of Yahweh. And they darken the minds and the conscience of people. But we can't get free from that trash. Whom the Son makes free, He's free and He has the liberty to worship the Father. That's what He came to do, to make us free to worship the Father. I will show you us in Scripture now. He says, first of all, I am the way. Then He says, the truth. What a statement. The truth now. Well, what is the truth? I will read this quickly. Psalms 117, verse 2. The truth now. Psalms 117, verse 2. David declares, for His merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of Yahweh, now the truth of Yahweh endureth forever. Praise ye Yahweh. Now do you believe that? Do you believe the truth of Yahweh endureth forever? Did not I base this upon the fact that He changes not? He is the same forever. He does not change at all. So the truth of Yahweh is forever. Well, Psalms 119 verse 142, it implies what the truth is. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Thy law is the truth. It's either that his law is a lie or it is the truth. That none of those things that I've read, the commandments, the laws, the statutes of Yahweh, were done away with. Messiah fulfilled them in that fleshly body. That's what he did by the Spirit of the Father. That's why he can never leave us comfortless. He will pray to the Father and he will send another comforter. It is his Spirit that dwells in us all. Messiah could not walk with each one of them individually, and neither can he walk with us each individually, because he was a physical, fleshly man. That is why the Father had to send his Spirit to dwell in us all. And the Spirit of Yahweh will not go against his everlasting truths. And his laws and commandments are everlasting truths. Religion is a lie. The doctrine that have been based upon this Jezebel, this Catholic whore, that has deceived the nations and the world, and this Protestant movement that we all have been birthed under, we have followed those tenets and those traditions of this Protestant Jezebel. Now he's trying to make us free. We are falling into a whore. When a man falls into a whore, it's hard to get him out of that ditch of a whore. And so his law is the truth. It is an everlasting truth, and it doesn't change. He declares that, first of all, he is the way, he is the truth, and he said, I am the life. What a profound statement. The life. Solomon declares in Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 23. Proverbs 6, verse 23. He says, for the commandment is a lamp. I believe the commandment is a lamp. The commandments of Yahweh, it is a lamp. And thy law is light. That's what the law does, Satan. It gives us light. He said, thy law is light, and reproof of instruction of the way of life. His law is light. And yet there's darkness pervasive all over the world. For they have done away with the laws of Yahweh. They reject them. They reject his name. They reject his trumpet. The first four commandments are done away with. They're totally done away with. They are done away with. And this religious Jezebel thinks she's going into the kingdom. He says, my father, in my father's house are many mansions. And I go and prepare you a place that you may come and dwell in my father's house. He said, I am the way, and we know that the law is light. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5. O house of Jacob, come let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 5. Come let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Let us walk in the laws of Yahweh. Let us obey the laws. Why? Because Messiah came not to destroy the laws of Yahweh, nor the works of the prophets. But he came to fulfill them and to give us understanding of those righteous truths of Almighty Yahweh. He has not changed one thing at all, saints. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then look what he says here in the latter part. He says this. Read that with me. No. Come on, saints. All of y'all, let us read this. In Yokohana, John 14, 6. It says what? No man cometh unto the Father but by me, or except through me. No man cometh unto the Father. Now what is he trying to do? Bring us to the Father? That's what that says. He said, you can't even come to the Father but by me. I am that righteous door that will lead you to the Father. I will show you how to get to the Father. And no man can come even unto the Father but by me. You can't even get to the Father but by Messiah. And if you deny the Father, you've already denied the Son. If you deny that the Son has the same name as the Father, then you've denied the Son and the Father. It can never be the pagan introduction of the name Jesus. It is a pagan name. And I use that expression. I know that the world gets upset with that because it distorts the picture of whom the Father is. And Messiah, he was leading them to the Father. He said, you can't even get to the Father. That's what I'm here for, is to bring you to the Father. He was here to bring us to the Father, that the Father may receive pure worship out of the lips of the saints of Yahweh. So we can't even get to the Father unless it's through the truth that He reveals unto us. And His truth, that the words that He speak were from the Father. And the Father had given Him all things to say and all things to do. And those things were to lead us to the Father. Now, saints, we can't reject that. You can't push that aside. He says, no man come unto the Father. Then who is the Father? Is He the Lord? Is He the God? He is Yahweh. He has a name, and the Father has the name of the Son, because the Son came in the authority of the Father's name. He was the assurance of our Yoshak, or our salvation. That is what He is. And so He came to bring and to open the door to the Father. You can't even get unto the Father unless you believe that the Son truly came in the Father's name. That's why this world is reaping in its religious pagan practices. They're so pagan and so wicked. That's the truth, saints. There is no love in it. There's no love for what they call God or the Lord Jesus. There is no love for nothing but flesh. The corruption of the infidel flesh, that is all that they love, and nothing else. He said, you can't even get to the Father unless you come through me. Now, if Shaul and Kephar and Yaakov taught anything different, then the whole message that Messiah taught is a lie. It is an untruth. He taught us the truth. And so what He was trying to do is bring us back to the Father. We had backslid. We had all gone astray as Israel from the laws of the Father. So He had to come and bring the restitution to the house, as He showed us with the example of the apostles. They all went backwards. And when He got up, He had to restore them to the place that they should walk. But there are scriptures I want to read. I want to read all that, but I want to stop there, because there are things that I want to point out concerning the Father that Messiah spoke to us that we need to know. It says in Luke chapter 23, verse 33. Listen to this. The Father and the forgiveness of our sins, as Messiah spoke, to give us understanding of our sins being forgiven. He says in Luke 23, verse 33, and when they will come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. And the malefactors, the criminals, that's what they were, one on the right and the other on the left. Then said Yeshua, this is what He prayed now, look what He prayed. He's hanging on the cross. He says, who? Father. He says, Father, forgive them. Only the Father can forgive. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment, and they cast lots for His clothes. He prayed a profound prayer. Unto who? The Father. He said, Father, Father Yahweh, forgive them, For they know not what they do. They do. And they don't, this world today don't, it doesn't know, saints. This world doesn't know what it's doing. It's practicing pagan traditions and rituals that do not bring us one bit closer to the Father. And he prayed a prayer that was so profound that, forgive them, Father. They're ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. Now, he was the light that shined forth into the world. He was the light. Now, I will show you what scripture says, that once this light is revealed, you can't reject it. You can't reject it. You receive it with open heart. That's how you do it. It says in the same chapter, verse 46, Lucas. It says that when Yahshua had cried with a loud voice, why is it that we have omitted the Father? Or we may just interject that every now and then, Father. The world never used that. He says this now, with a loud voice he cried, he says, Father. Is that not what he says? He says, Father, into whose hand? Into thine hand. Why into the Father's hand? Because no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand. Messiah said that. He said, Father, into thine hand. Into thine hand, he says, I commend my life for my spirit. And having thus says, he gave up the breath of the spirit of life. But he committed his breath into the hand of the Father. He knew his Father. And every son knows his Father. You watch these little lads, they know their Father. They may identify them as Father, but they all of their fathers have names. He said, Father Yahweh, into thine hand I commit my spirit. And it says in the next verse, now listen to this. You see, even this pagan man, a centurion. Now when the centurion saw what was done, it says he honored or he exalted. It says God, doesn't it? That's what it says in the King James. It says God. But it says he glorified God. It's what it says in the King James. But he honored or exalted Yahweh, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. That's what he said. He said, this was a righteous man. And that's what he was. He was the righteousness of Almighty Yahweh. He was a righteous man. I believe the centurion glorified. How did he know Yahweh? Because Messiah, when he says Yahweh, I commend my spirit, Father Yahweh, I commend my spirit or my breath into thine hand. That centurion standing there, he heard the profoundness of that name and he knew that only a great God, because he was a Roman, could give power to have that kind of prayer, of those words, in death. And he began to glorify Yahweh. He began to exalt and to praise Yahweh. What he did, he began to acknowledge him. And he said, truly this was a righteous man here. Even the King James onlys, when they see these words, they still reject it because of their traditions. They're so ingrained in their traditions. It's almost like a devil worship, really. It is so, they're so captivated by their traditions. Well, I know what it says, but I still just believe. But your belief is based upon a lie. It's based upon something that's false. It's not based upon truth. He said Father, didn't he? You better find out what Father he was praying to and who he was calling Father. And he certainly wasn't Lord and he wasn't God. And the one that did this cried, his name wasn't no pagan Jesus either. And that's a fact. He cried, Father, isn't that something? Because here this man was birthed in a Hebrew family. How did his name become an American English name? How can that be? It is so foolish. Even if people thought sensibly, just naturally, they can't see that. But they're so steeped in their religion, they can't see it. They're foolish. They're blind. That's what they are. They're foolish and they're blind. But I can see these little children that understand and know, because the Spirit of Truth is of the Father. The Father sent the Spirit of Truth. Messiah was the truth of Yahweh. He was the witness of whom the Father was. And in the witness of whom the Father is, he exuded the truths of Yahweh. And yet the centurion saw that truly this man is a righteous man. He didn't lie. Said, what we've done here is wrong. It wasn't right what we have done. And yet in that most climactic time in his life, he prays to the Father. And he taught us how to pray. You look up that word hallowed. It means specific, to acknowledge. Hallowed be thy name. So you must acknowledge the Father's name. That's what hallowed is. It is to acknowledge. When something is hallowed, if this vessel is hallowed, you set it apart. And so when one sees that vessel, they will know that it is of the service of your wife. So hallowed means to acknowledge and to make reference of the name that is hallowed. Wasn't this after he taught them how to pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He called the Father's name. He called him Father Yahweh. Help me. That's what I need. I need your help, Father. I need your help. Look what he says in the 24th chapter of Luke, verse 45 through verse 49. Luke 24. As Messiah commanded them how they ought to walk and how their lives should represent the commission of Yahweh. Look what he says here in Luke chapter 24, verse 45. First of all, he opened their understanding. Then opened he their understanding. That they might understand what? Do you all see that, saints? Luke 24:45. It says, then, after he was resurrected, after he had gotten up out of the grave, then he opened their understanding that they may understand what? The scripture. Now, what scripture did he open their understanding to understand? What scripture? Was it Revelation? Or was it the book of Moshe, the Torah, and the prophets? You can't deny that. This foolish, wicked world, they deny that. He opened up their understanding to understand scripture. What did they preach? They preached the scriptures. This is a wicked world. He opened up their understanding that they may understand scripture. And he said unto them, look what he said now. Was Revelation written then? Was Psalms written then? Yes, it was. Was 1 Peter, 1 Kepha written then? But was Malachi written? Sure it was. He says in verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written. Scripture was written. So it had been inscribed with pen. It was written. And thus it behooved Messiah to suffer. Was not that written in Isaiah and all the prophets prophesied of his suffering? Was it not written? It's not written in Revelation, but it's written in Isaiah and Malachi, Obadiah, Zephaniah. And to raise from the dead the third day. He said that is already written, that he would raise from the dead. And look what he says. Listen to this. I want you to hear this now. And that repentance and remission of sin, he should be now. Should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That they didn't begin there in the Hebrew territory, talking about no Jesus. He said, you must begin at Jerusalem, preaching in my name because I came in the Father's name, preaching remission of sin, repentance in my name. Now why did he say that? Listen to this. And ye are witnesses of these things. You're witnesses of these things, what has happened to me, how sin or the remission of sin and repentance must be preached in my name. Why must it be done in his name? Why? Because he tells you. He said, and behold, you must do this, and behold, you look now, and I send the promise of who? Of who? I send the promise of my Father, the Spirit, upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. They come down from who? The Father of light. So did not the Father send the gift? He said, I send you the promise of my Father. Well, once he opened their understanding, they knew who the Father was truly. Because they knew he came in the Father's name, and they knew what was written in Isaiah, and he did not talk about some Lord or some pagan. It's only when this thing, when what we call the Christians got hold of what we call the text, they began to put these idioms and change things in there, and they have done that. You go back to the original text, it's not written the way it is even in the King James. That thing that should not even be there, saints. He said, what is written in the scripture? He opened up their understanding to scripture. Did they understand the promise of the Father? You wait there in Jerusalem, you're going to be endued or endowed with the power from on high. Yahweh will fill you with His Spirit, and it's not this foolish thing that they call the Spirit of Yahweh. The Spirit of Yahweh will never give a woman the authority to call herself a preacher. He will never give a woman the authority to call herself to move outside of the realm of the laws of Yahweh. It never does that. It's the spirit of religion. And that's what religion has done. Hear this, here before he died, he acknowledged the Father. And even after he resurrected, he tells them that the promise is going to come from the Father. You just wait. And the promise is going to come from the Father. He said, you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. They want to pray in every name but the Father's name. They don't want to identify the Father. Oh, Holy Ghost, I need you. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. That is not how you pray. You don't pray that way. You pray, my Father, Yahweh. Thy name is hallowed. It is a name of honor and great power. That's how you pray. And that's how he wants us to pray. And that is the truth. It says in Mark, Johanna Mark, Mark chapter 13. I want to give you some bread tonight. The Father knows all things. It's Messiah, Mark 13, verse 28. As he began to preach concerning how this generation and that generation, this generation will pass away as well. He says in verse 28, he says, Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When a branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaf, ye know the summer is near. When you see the tenderness of the buds, you know that summer is near. No, the leaves do not come. They began to flourish in the fullness when summer is near, the closer summer is. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even to the door. Know that this, that when you began to see these things come to pass, you began to see the unheaval and the wickedness of this world today, you know that it's a time that is close. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words or my laws or the laws of Yahweh shall not pass away. He said, nothing is going to pass. Why? But of a day, listen what he says now, but of a day and that hour knoweth some man or no man. He said, was he a man? Yes, he was. He said, knoweth no man, no, not the malachs which are in heaven, neither the Son. Neither the Son know that day, but the Father. Only the Father knoweth the day and the hour of the great wrath that's going to be poured out upon this wicked nation, the nations of the world. And he warns them. He said, but watch and pray, for you know not the time. You don't even know the time. That's why you need to watch and know how to pray, what name to pray and how to pray, so that you will be ready when the time comes. He said, only the Father knows. Only the Father knows. He said, not even the host of the heavens, they don't know. No man knoweth. And then he identified himself, not neither the Son, but the Father. But the Father, only the Father. Who is the one that knows where all this thing is coming to an end? The Father. Then it behooves us, saints, to find out who He is. I think I will spend the rest of my life trying to find out and to know Him personally. Well, you know someone personally, you know their name. You know someone, you don't know their name. Well, you know someone personally, you know their name. So Messiah knew the Father personally, so He had to know the Father's name. And if you don't know the Father, you don't know His name. Once you know His name, you begin to call Him by His name. Then you begin to establish a personal relationship there. And then once you really get personal with someone, you know them, their first name, you begin to call them, you take comfort in calling them that. And so the Son knew the Father. And He called the Father by His name. Why? Because He gave in that mighty name of the Father. He was the Yahshua, the Savior, or the power to save of the Father. He's only the Father knows. Only the Father knows. Only. He said, I don't know. No man knows. That's why you have this guessing game they're playing today. These false prophets and liars and deceivers. That's all they are. We get on our face, we do just what He said. You just watch and pray. That's all we need to do. We see the fig tree budding. We know that the branch is tender. Sure we do. We know summer is near. We know this generation is near. So we know that, then you don't have to know the hour of the day. You just do what He tells you. You just began to watch. And you began to watch your own heart and watch yourself. And you began to pray. That's what you began to do. You began to watch and you began to pray. That is what this generation needs to do. We need to watch, brothers and sisters. And we certainly need to pray in this hour as never before. The experience in the Garden of Gethsemane. Look at this in Mark chapter 14.